In the 19th century, wave upon wave of immigrants came to America. Millions of them landed in New York. Some were escaping the famine and general lack of opportunities in Ireland. And among those was a young woman who became infamous and wrote her autobiography as Chicago May, Queen of the Crooks. Irish writer Nuala O'Fuaillean tells May's story in a new book. It's called, simply, The Story of Chicago May. O'Fuaillean told Steve Paulson, May found a way to set herself apart from all the other Irish immigrants.
Half of all the people born in Ireland did emigrate to America, and more than half of those were single women. I mean, I'm not surprised that May ran away. I'm not even surprised that she stole the family savings to do it. What did turn me on was that she got a first-class ticket to America.
Now, I would think the more conventional route that an Irish immigrant would take once she got to America is she would become a domestic servant or perhaps work in a factory or something like that. But Chicago May never did that.
No, that's what most of them did. But you see, she'd already marked herself out as someone exceptional. And when her money was gone, she headed out to Nebraska. She fell in with a young man who rode with the Dalton Gang. She learned with him how to rob banks and to live on the wrong side of the law. And according to her, he was lynched after they'd been together only about a year. And she found herself in Chicago in 1892, a beautiful young widow with no skills except knowing how to rob a bank. And Chicago was full of single men with money because they were building the World's Fair. So what with one thing and another, May became not so much a prostitute as a con woman, someone who lured men to hotel rooms and then either rolled them or had an accomplice steal their trousers or had an accomplice pretend to be the landlord or her father or somebody and interrupt them. And then May stole their trousers and ran away with all their valuables. It's a kind of naive kind of crime, but it worked.
Now, do you think she chose this lifestyle? I mean, essentially chose to become an outlaw because she had to, she didn't have any alternatives, or because she preferred this way of life to the more straight-laced kind of lifestyle, but that probably would have been, I don't know, more boring or less financially rewarding?
Oh, well, I don't think money mattered to her at all. I mean, she made and lost huge sums during her life. Money never stuck to her. But, you know, there weren't many choices. There were far too many women for the jobs there were. It was a time in employment history between the factory jobs of the Industrial Revolution and the store jobs and clerical jobs of the 20th century. It was in those circumstances that this reckless girl thought she could make a living in the red light district without, as it were, prostituting herself. But I believe that she must have to have sometimes go all the way with men.
But this must have been tremendously risky to deal with this. I mean, not only to deal with that whole world of prostitution, but to run these cons. She must have been at tremendous physical risk.
She courted danger. She liked being on the very edge. I've often wondered whether something happened to her in childhood, because certainly in those early years, she was full of anger and she was ruthless to the men. She never left them a few dollars, you know, to find their way to a cab or anything. She took everything. She'd even steal when she was bound to be found out. That worries me about her. What exactly psychically was she working out? What were the demons inside her, underneath the lovely, innocent face and the mane of red gold hair and the buxom body, you know? I think there was something savage about her in those early years.
You're suggesting some kind of sexual abuse as a child
that
may have
like
turned
that
into rage against men later on.
Yeah, but as she went on in life and became actually a more successful crook and moved away from the streets and did things like with a later boyfriend, she burgled the American Express office in Paris in 1901 of the equivalent of about $1 million. At that stage, she has outgrown, as it were, the anger, and she doesn't provoke violence at all.
So what happened when she and this boyfriend robbed the American Express office?
Well, they were very incompetent crooks. Lots of the American crooks of the early years of American cities were strikingly incompetent by modern standards. you know, they were always dropping clues or going asleep or forgetting their way or talking to a cop when they shouldn't. And they were always being caught. But a funny thing about them was that they were great internationalists. American crooks wandered all over the world. They thought nothing of turning up in Scandinavia or Brazil or Egypt or France. It didn't bother them if they didn't speak the language. I don't quite know how they got away with it, but that's how they were. And that particular burglary, they seemed to get away, May and Eddie, her boyfriend, but actually on the train back to the Channel to get back to England, Eddie was arrested and nobody realised May was with them. So May got away with all the money and May got back to London safe and sound. But like women the world over, she believed he was her man and that the code of the underworld and the code of men and women meant that she should stick by him. So she voluntarily went back to Paris and was arrested herself. They were tried. He got life on Devil's Island and she got a long stretch in a French jail.
She was sentenced to, what, 5 years of hard labour?
Yeah, 5 years hard labour. And he got life.
But he got out then. He escaped.
Yeah, but no one ever could have known that he would. I mean, up to then, nobody had escaped from Devil's Island. It was such a terrible place and you had to cross three countries to get from French Guiana to somewhere, you know, where you could get a boat up to North America.
Now, eventually, I mean, years later, after he escaped, they, May and Eddie, had a falling out to the point where she actually tried to kill him, didn't she?
Well, it's a very complicated story, but yes, they did. 5 years after they parted in a French jail, they did meet again in a pub in London. They did try to get together again. He turned against her and was going to kill her, or at least he was going to throw acid in her face to disfigure her so that she would never go with another man. And in those circumstances, threatened in that way, she informed on him. So the police put him in jail waiting to deport him back to Devil's Island. In jail, he met a young American of a very good family in Virginia called Charlie. And Eddie commissioned Charlie when Charlie got out to go and kill May. And in one of the most surprising things in May's whole story, when Charlie found May, he fell immediately in love with her. And it was Charlie and May who went looking for Eddie when Eddie did get out of jail and wasn't deported. And it was Charlie who shot at Eddie. But Charlie went to jail for life and May went to jail this time for 17 years.
And then many years later, I mean, part of the remarkable story of Chicago May is that she wrote her autobiography. I mean, here was a woman who had led this remarkable life, but that basically had been forgotten by most people, but somehow managed to tell her story.
Yeah, it's like a miracle of self-redemption. At the point where she wrote her story, she was 57 years old. She was a derelict on the streets of Detroit. She was very ill and she was constantly arrested. And she actually collapsed on the streets of Detroit and was put in jail. And in jail was operated on very crudely and then was returned to her bed and was chained to her bed. And it was while she was chained to the bed in the prison in Detroit that a wonderful man, a great, great policeman, a man called Auguste Vollmer, came across her. And he said to her, May, you have nothing left. You have no money, you have no friends, you have no health. You have only one thing left, and that is your story. That's all you possess. And somehow or other, when she got out of that jail, even though she hadn't been to school except a few years, 50 years before, she managed to write her autobiography. And because she wrote an autobiography, I was able to write a book about her. I mean, her autobiography tells lies and it's confused and it's one of the worst structured books you ever read in your life. But it's a unique testament from the very lowest echelons of American society by a woman who had no virtues except that she would not be defeated.
Well, what do you make of her life? I mean, there were contemporaries I know who called her evil, who certainly called her a fallen woman. Mm. I'm guessing you do not share those judgments.
Well, I don't share any one-word judgment. It's a much more complicated matter than that. I mean, I never came to love her because she's simply not lovable. But boy, I came to appreciate her. She was like someone who lived on a more fundamental level than we civilized people live. You know, I was the more glad that I'd written her life story without being madly in love with her, because we know already how to pay respect to people we like and admire. But how do we push the boundaries out to be respectful of people that we don't particularly like and don't particularly admire and who were of no social value? How do we welcome in from the cold the people out there on the very edges of society? She said at the end of her book, you know, she said, I never wanted to die, even in prison, not because I was afraid to die, but because I enjoyed life. And you kind of reel backwards and think, she what? She enjoyed this terrible, effortful, you know, dangerous, suffering life. And then you realize she was at one with life. She had no quarrel with life. Wherever she found herself, she just went with it. She wasn't trying to be or do anything. She was just living, and she lived with everything she had. It's a difficult virtue to describe, but I can see that it is a virtue.
Nuala O'Fuaillean is the author of The Story of Chicago May. She talked to Steve Paulson.